Hello, everyone.
Welcome home, welcome home. This is Josh and Kenya. They've been leading worship for us at several other locations for a couple months now, and I had the pleasure to meet them for the first time today. Thank you, guys. I like to say that the joy of the Lord is real. You know, it's not an emotional thing. It's there's depth in it. And no matter what we go through, what challenges, when we're in the muck or we are in the hot mountaintops, we experience that joy. And I pray that if you don't, that you dig in. You know, He can change your name. He can change your situation. He can do all things. But the one thing that we can do is seek. Seek Him earnestly. And let all the noise disappear. And we pray that He encounters us right there and then. So I'm blessed that you guys are here. I want you to know that you are loved unconditionally. I experienced this in my life when it was the hardest times. And I want you to know that it doesn't take a hard time to know this. He loves you unconditionally. That's the Father that we worship here today. He loved us so much that His Son was nailed to a cross so that we could be with Him. And I look at the Bible and it's a love story from beginning to end. He just wants to be with us. Can I get an amen? Come on. So I'd like to say hello to everybody that's online. I don't know what camera to look at, but we're so glad that you're joining us. And on our website at hopeonthebeach.com, you can find these bulletins. If you want to follow along, you guys have the bulletins. So, like good old Steve said, I'd like to bring your attention to the connection card. Please fill it out so we can recognize your presence here. It's important to us. And there's a section right there where if you need any prayer, if it's whatever that prayer is, I guarantee to you that two or more will pray for you in our staff. And if we're gathered, we're going to pray for you. And we believe in the power of prayer, and we believe that God answers the prayer in His time, which isn't always convenient, right, Jeff? But it's His time, and it's a perfect time. So we're just blessed to have you here. There will be lyrics up on top, and there will be lyrics in your bulletin if you haven't been here before. And in the bulletin itself, you can see we got some special stuff happening. The ladies are getting together for their dinner, and that is tomorrow. And I hear it's going to be a spectacular time at Marina Cafe. And for all of our members, we have a voters meeting next Sunday at 12:15. I encourage you to be here. The president of our district is going to be here, Eric Johnson. It's really important. So pass it along to all the members. Let them know that this is happening. And now before we go into worship, I'd like to pray for us. Can we all rise if you can? Heavenly Father, bring peace to our minds and our hearts right now. We want to focus on You. You're here where two or more are gathered. And You inhabit the praises of Your people. So, clear our minds, clear our hearts, so that we can encounter You today. Break us open and let us hear the word, Your word. We love You and we thank You for Your mercy that renews every morning and Your love that just is unconditional and overwhelming. We love You and we thank You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
thank the Savior, because you healed my heart, you changed my name, forever free. I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. Oh, and if you're free, we're going to declare that today.
More and more.
just to trust His cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing flood. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust
Amen. You may be seated. Thank y'all so much. It's really awesome to hear that here and even on the beach. And I appreciate you guys coming here and pouring your worship out to the Lord. It's very pleasant. Okay, I heard something this morning. In the announcements, they said, back to school, and it hit me like a light. Leaving Sunday for orientation, back to school 30 years later. I guess I got to dust off my trapper keeper, right? You still got those? Oh, darn, I guess. So, another thing, I want to thank everybody for all the... I didn't know Willie Rascal was going to be a bit of a spectacle, but last week we talked about, I used X-ray and how the sermon was on how light exposes everything, and I used an illustration with Willie Rascal in the story because we had to rush him to the vet for an X-ray and found out he had a congestive heart failure. So all this week I've had people concerned for Willie Rascal. Willie Rascal's fine. Willie Rascal's on heart meds, he's on Lasix, yes, but he's living his best couple of years of his life, and he is rotten, and he is spoiled. And he's letting us know now, he's just got short time, but he wants what he wants when he wants it, and stopped eating his food unless honey was on top of it. I don't know where that came from, but that's what we deal with every day, so don't worry about Willie Rascal's fine, so... I'm Christian Bolden. I have the pleasure to serve you on staff here at Hope on the Beach Church, and we're actually in the sermon series finishing up over the next couple of weeks, The Christ You Thought You Knew. This one is titled, The Truth Will Set You Free. And for those of you that like to take notes, and I encourage you to take notes because you can do your homework with the scripture, and you should always review the scripture through the week. John chapter 8. 31 through 36 is where we're going to be reading from next. Let's go ahead and get into the scripture. It says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Then they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is this that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. I pray this word goes out and does not return void like your scripture says, So, Father, penetrate every heart here today. I pray that they're touched, moved, and motivated by your word to absorb it in, be broken, and share it with someone else. We ask these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I need my freedom. Anybody ever said that? I've said it many times. I said it more than once. I remember when I said this before starting my first business. I need my freedom. I'll start a business and I'll finally have it. I had all these plans of things I would do after I started my business now, and I would have the freedom to go do. I still have never learned to play golf 30 years later. So I created something where I worked 80 hours a week. I later said to my wife, "You need to have freedom too." So we started our second business where she could work 80 hours a week in the back of the same business, in the same, back of the same building. We were much younger then, and we always had mindset that this time will pay off, and it did. We were thankful for the time and the things we learned along that journey, and there were benefits that came with that, but our life and our future was shaped by it. We grew and gained in the process, but also there's things that we lost in that process. Identity is often something that merges or gets lost in all of it. I like being in control of my life. I like believing I can fix my own problems. I believe I can overcome my own weaknesses. And I often believe I can become better if I just try harder. But honestly, there has been seasons where I realize there are struggles I can't overcome on my own. Most recently, and many of you know, many years after my first business, we encountered a situation that took us through a business loss. A sunk boat, a lawsuit, a year and a half because an insurance company decided that they would roll the dice. The harder I tried to figure everything out, the more I realized something, I'm not in control. The insurance assumed I would go away with denied claims over and over. I guess they thought I'd just disappear. That didn't happen. And they ended up with a much bigger bill than they could have paid out initially. They settled a year and a half later, and God provided us a way through it. It was another situation God used to shape us, and He directed our paths. I had no control over it. I had no say on how long it took, what the outcome would be, only brokenness. Prayer and waiting on God to come through. And at the perfect time, He did. A week before I started here on staff, a settlement came in the mail. My wife, broken, sitting on the steps as I walked in the door because she checked the mail first. Perfect timing is what she said. Brokenness is never comfortable. We don't put brokenness on our resume. We don't post it on social media. We hide it. We manage it. And rebrand it as a season of growth. But God isn't interested in our polished version of ourselves. He's after the real one. God often uses brokenness as a path that leads us to surrender. Without brokenness, we rarely see a need for a Savior. Think about it in this way. A man who believes he's healthy, he'll never call a doctor. It's only when pain becomes unbearable that he finally picks up the phone and makes a call. Jesus is the great physician, and brokenness is often what really finally gets us up to make a phone call. In John, the people listening to Jesus believed they were already free. They had no idea how enslaved they really were. Listen again in verse 33. "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." We all think we're free. We live in a culture that celebrates freedom. Turn on your TV, scroll through your feed on your phone, and you'll hear everything, and freedom is the ultimate American dream and value, isn't it? It's the ultimate human right. To some degree, that instinct is actually right. God did build us for freedom, but our culture has redefined it. And what freedom really means? Doing what I want. Living my truth. Truth is relative, right? I answer to no one. That's the modern definition in a nutshell. No boundaries, no accountability, no one telling me who I am or what's true. That's called postmodernism. It sounds liberating, almost like a commercial. But it sounds a lot different at 2 a.m. when you're staring at the ceiling alone with all those consequences. I do what I want. Oh no, what have I done? If we're honest, we all know what it's like to feel trapped. We lose our temper. We hold our bitterness. We wrestle with addictions. We chase approval. We repeat sins we promise we'd never commit again. None of us would put any of this on a list called freedom, would we? We call them what they are: chains, bondage, trapped. And yet we keep dragging them around, telling ourselves, as long as no one else sees our chains, we're okay. We often think our greatest problem is outside of us. Jesus says it's inside us. We're quick to diagnose and comment on the world's problems, the economy, our upbringing, the people who wronged us, but slow to look in the mirror. Jesus is not interested in blaming the circumstances. He's interested in healing your heart. Several sermons ago, I asked this question: are we serving a God who created all things? Or are we serving the God we see in the mirror every morning? If we aren't careful, we can become our own authority. We trust our own truth. We become our own savior. It used to be said, the customer's always right. You remember that? That was actually last century. Our sinful nature says the same thing about ourselves. I'm always right. My feelings are always valid. My desires are always justified. That's a comfortable religion to build. It's also completely powerless. And serving the God in the mirror never brings freedom. It only makes the chains heavier. We walk through life weighted down. So Jesus now tells us a truth that is difficult to hear, but it's necessary. So what did Jesus say? Sin is our nature. Read in John 8:34. It says, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Jesus doesn't say we just commit sins. He says we're slaves. Sin isn't only something that we do. It's a condition of our hearts apart from Christ. This is one of the most counterculture claims in all of Scripture. But it's one of the most freeing claims when you actually believe it. Our culture treats sin like a bad behavior, something you manage, something that you could just create better habits, therapy, or willpower. Your willpower is not going to change you. The Scripture's different. It treats it like slavery, a condition you're born into, not a hobby you pick up. Scripture teaches this very clearly. In Psalms 5, it says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In Ephesians, it says, and this is pretty deep, it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you were once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh, the mind, in the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Romans sums it up, for all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners because we sin. I'm sorry, we aren't sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. Law is there to expose it. Before the law can ever give us an ability to walk as a disciple, it acts as a mirror, showing us our sin. This is uncomfortable but necessary. We can't live it. Because you can't receive a grace or be rescued from a situation you don't believe that you need. This is why we can't rescue ourselves. You can't perform spiritual work through the power of the flesh. No amount of discipline, no amount of religion, no amount of trying harder can transform a sinful heart. Paul reminds us again in Romans chapter 8, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. Our flesh can improve behavior for a little season, but it cannot produce spiritual life. This is hard for people like me, wired to solve problems. I love to work with my hands. I can build a business plan. I can build a piece of furniture. I can repair a motorcycle or a boat. I can't build myself a new heart. That work belongs to God, God alone. We just simply receive it. You see, brokenness comes first. Only then does surrender become possible. Number two, the Word is the remedy. Jesus doesn't tell them to try harder. In John 8, 31 through 32, he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Everything begins in his word. God's word exposes our sin, reveals Christ, creates faith, and it sustains it. By his word, preached, read, heard, shared, through faith by grace. Faith isn't something you manifest yourself. Even faith is a gift through means he's chosen. And Romans 10 tells us faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. This is where grace begins its work. Jesus awakens heart through his word. He awakens, he calls, he draws sinners to himself. Every encounter Jesus has in Scripture begins with him taking the initiative. The shepherd always seeks, calls, herds his sheep. The dead never wake themselves. Christ calls them to life. Think of Lazarus in the tomb. He didn't decide to raise himself, did he? He wasn't laying there rubbing his eyes and deciding to wake up, was he? No, he was laying there dead. They said his stench. He was in there. It took Jesus going in saying, Lazarus, get up. Come out. This called that body to life. His words did. This is the condition Scripture says we're in. Before Christ called us out by name and his word, we were dead. John 5 says, whoever believes has passed from death to life. Number three, we cannot recognize our brokenness on our own. Notice the crowd's response in verse 33 of John 8 that we're in. We have never been slaves. What? What an incredible irony. I mean, they're governed right now by the Romans. And did they forget their history? They were so enslaved, they couldn't even recognize their chains. I mean, they did not know their history. Does that sound familiar? That's what sin does. It blinds us. It deceives us. It convinces us We're fine. You know, you're in denial when you walk around limping in pain, but tell everybody, I'm fine. This is why brokenness is so important. Brokenness is the path to surrender and healing. When God allows us to see the reality of our sin, when our pride is shattered, when we stop pretending, our hearts finally become open to Christ. The Holy Spirit opens blind eyes. He awakens our hearts to have an encounter with Jesus. Without Him, we never seek God. We never recognize our need. We never surrender. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, doing what we talked about in last week's sermon. He replaces our heart of stone with a heart of flesh, softening a heart that would stay hard forever. He's the one that works in you, even in this moment right here in the sanctuary. He gathers us here to hear His word. And the word does not return to us void. Number four, if you're taking notes, Jesus awakens our hearts and sets us free. John 8:36 says, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. This is the gospel, amen? Jesus doesn't simply loosens our chains. He breaks them. Through His cross, our guilt is forgiven, it's done, it's finished. Through His resurrection, death is defeated. The law showed us our chains. The gospel's the only thing strong enough to break them. Because the gospel isn't advice, it's a proclamation. Christ has already done the work. He declared it's finished, and He meant it. We can walk around in the desert like the Israelites, searching for the truth when it's already in our face and the work's already been done. When Christ awakens our hearts, when faith is born, we can accept that the chains are broken. We can lay them down. That's when we're truly free, when we leave them on the ground and don't pick them up. Notice something beautiful here. Freedom in Christ is never freedom to simply live how we want. Paul says in Romans 6, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. That's beautiful. It means we get to spend eternity with our Savior. Earlier in the chapter, Paul also writes, Romans 6, having been set free from sin, we have become slaves of righteousness. We're no longer slaves to sin. If we believe, we now belong to Christ. Our allegiance has changed. Our master has changed. Our identity has changed. Later in John 15, he says, you know what I know now. You're no longer servants. You're now a friend. I used to think that starting my own business meant no bosses. Freedom, right? But the worst boss was the one in the mirror. Without a new identity, we are slaves to the wrong things. So Jesus doesn't just tweak that old person. He creates an entirely new one. 2 Corinthians says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. When Jesus sets you free, this process changes that person in the mirror. So what does this mean for you? Where are you still trying to set yourself free? Are you working harder by pretending everything's okay? Are you relying on your own strength? Maybe for you it looks like a habit. Maybe it's resentment. Maybe it's simply exhaustion. The weariness of someone who's been trying to hold on to everything and hold it together by sheer force of will
for years. Whatever it is, Jesus isn't asking you to fix it. He's asking you to bring it to Him. He's asking you to bring everything to Him. He's your friend. He wants to help you. You cannot accomplish spiritual work in the flesh unchanged by Him. Unchained by Him. Only Christ can make dead hearts alive. Today He calls you. Today He awakens. Today He invites you to surrender. Brokenness is not the end of your story. It's where grace begins. Receive the freedom Christ has already won for you. Don't wander in that desert. Abide in His Word. Trust His promises. Rest in His forgiveness. Open His Word daily, even for 5 minutes. Talk to Him. He's listening. He's always available to you. Here, or driving in your car, I've said before. Walking in the woods, on the street, who knows? Wherever you are, you can talk to Him. Let the Word do what it promises to do. It exposes, it reveals, it creates, and sustains faith. Remembering that God has already claimed you and named you His own. And when you fall again, which you will, confess rather than run away. This is how He does His best work. This is the gospel. So we can live as people who have been set free. When Jesus awakens our hearts through His Word, He creates the faith in us by the work of the Holy Spirit. The chains of sin are broken because of Christ's finished work. What does life look like once Jesus breaks these chains? Paul answers that too. The answers are in Scripture. When we belong to Christ, we no longer walk according to the flesh, unchained or unchanged. We walk by the Spirit. He guides us. And what does walking in the Spirit look like? Galatians 5:22 says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This does not come by willpower. They're all evidence that Christ is alive in us. Folks, Jesus loves this congregation, all those different locations that we have. He loves you. Your staff here loves this congregation. We love you. This Hope on the Beach family, all of us, we believe in living this out together. We're not a church of people who have their act together, performing, pretending. We're people saying, I'm still in the fight because the Word is at work. He's always at work, breaking chains one heart at a time in this community, in living rooms, in quiet moments of confession that we don't even know about, that only Jesus sees. Imagine a church filled with people whose chains have been broken, sharing with others who also need to be free. A church where people no longer pretend to have it all together. A church where God's Word awakens hearts. A church where broken people surrender to Jesus. A church where lives are transformed, not by human effort, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not a far-off dream reserved for some other congregation. That's a promise offered every time we open His Word. It's opened and spoken where He gathers us. That's the same awakening power that's present, doing what it always does, exposing, calling, and setting captives free. This is what Jesus promises. That the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. If you're struggling today, please don't leave here without someone praying for you. We have elders, we have staff here, we have beautiful believers in Christ who are willing to pray with you. If you're overwhelmed, you're weighed down, you feel the chains, please don't leave here without someone praying for you. We love you, we care for you, you're welcome here. We don't want you to leave here with that struggle, without knowing someone is available. You're always welcome and you're always loved here at Hope on the Beach Church. Let us pray. Lord, you know the chains we carry better than we do, the ones we hide, the ones we've stopped noticing, the ones that we're not convinced we can break on our own. Thank you that freedom is never ours to earn or manufacture, but a gift that you've given us on the cross and the empty tomb of your Son. Open our ears to hear the word today, not as one more thing that we're trying harder to do, Lord, but as a very voice that calls the dead hearts to life, Lord. Meet us where we're broken. Meet us with grace. Where we are proud, Lord, bring us low enough to surrender and not run away. And where the chains still hold us, Lord, please break them, Lord, so that we might be free and can share it with others. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, who sets the captives free. And now we pray, Lord, how you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
That was quite something, Christian. I think we've all been broken at one time. I know I have. And I'm so grateful to our Father in heaven. And he met me right there. And I know this is not a unique story. So with that grateful heart, we continue our worship today by collecting offering. And you guys can bring it up here when we're ready. But you heard about hope and the love that we have for you. The hope that the love that God has for you is so much greater. So if you want to support our ministry, if you're online, and you can do it by going to hopeonthebeach.com and clicking that give button. Here we have an envelope. You can read through it. There's many ways to give. We have four services, and we're going to where people work, play, and live. We're sent as a church to go and share the gospel. So if you would like to support that ministry, this is a good opportunity. So if you have your offering envelopes, feel free to put them on the plates.
The kingdom and its treasures, every
To worship you, Father, in spirit and truth. Continue to nudge us and give us your guidance and love, Father. And thank you for allowing us another song here to finish out our worship here today. Will you rise as we finish out in this worship song and then the blessing? Thank you.
your son for redemption, the price for my heart. And I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.